another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 18th of December 2016, and we're streaming live on YouTube right now from beautiful Keene, New Hampshire. We stream live every Sunday night between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find the links to those videos, to that live stream video, on our webpage, citizenkane.org, or on our Facebook page. If you are watching the live stream and you would like to contact us, join the conversation, tell us what you think. The number to call is 267-521-2771. Or, of course, you can Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. Of course, you can always email me anytime. That email address is show@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and I am joined, as usual, by the lovely Shana. Shana?
Yep, I'm
here.
How are
you this evening?
I'm great.
Are you warmer than last week?
Nope.
No. Let's get this thing over with then. We can turn that furnace back on. It is cold down here in the dungeon.
I mean, right now I'm good, but I'm sure by the end of the show I'm going to be like, hey, let's all clap our hands a lot. That's a great idea.
Let's do jumping jacks.
Yeah.
And let me turn this Skype on, too. I totally forgot to do that.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, let me do that first. And make sure that's up and running. And we have some announcements.
Are there announcements?
Yes. City Council vacancy. It is official. Councilor Kahn has stepped down. He has moved into his senatorship. He's no longer senator-elect. He is Senator Kahn.
He was sworn in.
I think they did that on...
I wasn't there, so I don't know. Okay.
So anyway, there's a vacancy.
They went without me.
Because there is no city meetings for the rest of the month, and there are going to be some councilors vacant at the next available city council meeting, they pushed this thing all the way back to January 23rd.
Whoa.
Through February the 6th. Those are the those are the 2 weeks of filing period where you could go and put your name in the hat. So it gives you a lot of opportunity to think about who you are and what you stand for and what you want to do to make the city better.
So when is the next... city, nobody cares.
Sometime in January.
Okay. So,
but there are going to be councilors that are not going to be there.
All right.
So you need a majority of 8 councilors to vote in your favor to be elected to this position, which is only going to be 10, 11 months. And then there's going to be another election.
That's enough time.
That's enough time to break it all up.
Oh, yeah. So the filing period is January 23rd through February 6th. And that's just you get a piece of paper application and turn it in?
You go to the city hall with your $2.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your name on the sheet and cough up the money.
So that's it. $2, name on the sheet, and then show up at their meeting to give your spiel.
Correct. And lots of opportunity to write letters to the editor, get on the local radio, and talk.
Get your
of course,
name and your
I'll
message
tell you right
out
now,
there.
If you're not one of the good old boys, you're not going to get anywhere near anywhere near that position. But you will have the opportunity to get out there and let people know who you are. So name recognition.
That's
for sure.
That's a terrible sales pitch.
Hey.
No one's going to buy that product.
Hey, I'm just being realistic.
Yes.
I'm not going to go. I'm just going to walk in the room and be all like, this is me. This is what I do. Do-be-do-be-do.
All right. That's just...
But I'm not going to be...
Art of the Deal is a very easy book to read. There, I said it.
God, you and that guy. We're always bringing him on the show.
I'm not bringing him on the show. You're selling...
We went separately. She took her vehicle. I took my vehicle.
No, I'm saying you're selling beyond this. You're not selling what you're pitching.
It's
pointless, but here's what I'm going to do.
You're wasting everybody's time. Name recognition. It's not pointless. That's the good part.
You could be doing that today with or without Kahn in Senate. So.
Next week in Keene, save your quarters. Parking is free. Woohoo! It's like 12 days out of the year. I think they actually upped it to 15 or something. They added Halloween. They added Thanksgiving. But all next week, downtown, save your quarters. Don't park longer than 2 hours because, you know.
There is still that.
You're still going to be roaming around, and the two-hour period is still in effect, but you don't have to put money in the meters, so that's good to know. Another thing, something that hits close to my home, I do raise chickens and rabbits, and in Swansea, sadly, I read this article this morning, 60 chickens and other fowl birds burned up in a fire, a barn fire. And they suspect that it was from heating lamps. If you are raising the birds, you don't need heating lamps. You need to maintain their water, make sure it doesn't freeze, and keep them out of the wind. And that's pretty much it. If they're in a barn, would have been sufficient. So if that was...
What about little baby chickens?
If that was, in fact, what had happened, it was heating lamps, I'm going to say that, they probably shouldn't have been being used. It's cold out there, but these guys are good to go. They're walking around in the snow today. Where the little baby chickens, if their mom really takes care of them, if it's a broody mother, then she should be keeping them warm. Now, if you've got chickens like mine's, the Comets, are kind of a hybrid chicken. They never get broody, so they never really take care of their eggs. And so I don't know. If you have a more traditional chicken, like a Rhode Island Red or something, I'm thinking they're going to take care of the babies. Some chickens are just horrible like that. So if you're raising the animals, get them out of the wind. Make sure their water doesn't freeze. No heating lamps.
All right.
Unnecessary. So those are your announcements.
Those are your announcements.
Okay. Well, if you have announcements, you can chime in anytime.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. It's cold in here. This
I already
is
gave
another
my
story. First article. It's New Hampshire related. article that really hit home for me because I... some of you may know that I work part-time at Enterprise Rental. I spend a lot of time driving around, picking people up, shuttling vehicles from one station to the next. Every now and then I go all the way to Concord or Massachusetts to pick up vehicles. And this is new to me. It's not something I've ever really done.
This type of job?
As far as taxiing people.
Okay.
And I've known about Uber for years now. Uber, of course, is a, how would you define Uber? It's a more decentralized, owner-of-the-car-centric taxi service. Whereas a taxi cab service, a unionized taxi cab service is, you don't even own the vehicle, or if you do, you're leasing out a badge, a taxi number, and a lot of the money is going to a service that is taking care of everything for you. Help me out, Shauna.
I really can't because I don't support Uber. I think it's a scam propped up. I think it's subsidized by venture capital that isn't really self-supporting. The idea of a couple years ago was, you know, you download magical app on your phone, and from that you can get a ride in individualized taxi service for a low price that benefits you and benefits the driver. What I've heard recently is that they're edging it towards consolidation, not so individual. You know, when you turn on the app as a driver, turn it on when you want to make money, that you have assigned schedules, that it actually is becoming more of a taxi service because it's not going to drop you off right here, or they do edit the route to pick up more people. So I think it's a scam. It's not government subsidized yet in money terms. It's subsidized by venture capital and also the crony capitalism that's, you know, financing the legal lawfare against, you know, the taxi companies that are using the means that they have, which is the law and the courts, to, you know, destroy the economy and push. The economy sucks. Okay. And we're moving towards a not barter, but favor economy. where, you know, I don't really have a job, but I have a car, so that's all I can do to make money. And giving people rides is, I get the idea from Uber and Lyft and whatever rideshare stuff there is, that it's all magically rides are very cheap. I don't know what planet everybody's on where these rides are cheap, because when I didn't have a car, rides were not cheap. And even now that I do have a car, driving somewhere is not cheap. So I am very skeptical of Uber as this great market capitalist, you know, upstart, pulling everybody up by their bootstraps to be independently wealthy and healthy and getting where they want to go.
Well, they're definitely trying to move up and beyond, and they're going to, you know, do what they have to do.
I think the idea of it
they're going to compete. So, and they are, and already this year their rates went up, and that messed with a lot of folks. But I know what you're talking about. I believe that the venture capitalists you're talking about were investing a lot of money in the infrastructure and taking a loss, because I believe that they think that there is a future and that it will be profitable in the future, and they won't lose the money that they lost in previous years.
I think what
what actually happened.
I think what I read was that 60% of their operating costs is a loss. It's not investing in infrastructure. It's they don't make money. They only are in the black because of investment money to, you know, there was actually an article that I posted on Citizen Kane about this. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, difficult because I don't understand all the concepts, but I'm very skeptical of Uber as this great, you know, liberty market, whatever.
Well, But
I don't know about anything about this except the brand all around it is horrible. So that's all I know.
I support competition. And I'll tell you what, and the lady we're going to talk about in a second, she already knows it.
Mm-hmm.
She already can see it. You know, all these great companies, they're going to have their time, and they're going to overstep the bounds, and they're going to fail. People are going to be like, nope, we're going to do something different. We're going to start another Uber. You know, there's already lots of competitors. You got Lyft and others. And there's one that I'm not even going to say on the air because it's, that's a scam.
Oh, the one who used the power of liberty ideology being a new upstart to scam people?
Yeah,
I've never seen that happen before. I only live in Keene.
Well, I like this story that came out of Portsmouth. There was a lady who was using the Uber. She was part of the Uber program, going around doing what she does. And Portsmouth actually created an ordinance preventing Uber from being utilized in the city of Portsmouth. A lot of city councilors who were all for it, and there was a whole bunch of cabbies. And like we've never seen unions, you know, up in arms trying to defeat the competition. She, of course, was like, no, this is what I do. I'm going to keep on keeping on. And she ended up with a bunch of tickets. This was back in March. And she took them all to court, which was just recently. It happened just recently. And they
stopped
giving her...
Did she take them all to court? Did she represent herself?
Well, here's where that infrastructure is coming into play. The lost money we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
She had an Uber lawyer. So there's some of your money right there. Because they're actually trying to make it stick. So they're going to take a loss.
What do you mean she paid for an Uber lawyer? How do
she
you get
pay
in...
for it. She probably contacted them. They found out about it, and they supported her.
So she was propped up by big money.
Correct.
Just about in the same way that the cabbies are propped up by the union. I mean, I don't know the difference between the cab company in Portsmouth, the union in there, if they're, you know, bussing in people from SEIU or something. But it sounds to me like it's kind of...
The same,
equal
it's
footing,
just,
slightly
say
equal
hello,
footing. It's
say
just
hello to the new boss, goodbye old boss, hello good new boss.
I'm really skeptical of it, yeah, and especially with the brand of what you're getting this from. Absolutely.
Well,
I don't know where else you'd find it, but
I thought it was a very nice interview, and I'm not going to hold anything against. Let's see if I can find there's my list. So here's Uber Grandma. Being interviewed on the steps of... What, can we say some more?
No, I thought you were going to play the video from the Free Keen.
No, by the way, this is a 9-minute video. I cut it up because we don't have 9 minutes to watch the whole thing. I do recommend going to the show notes, citizenk.org, watching the entire video. It is very interesting. So hold on. Let me change these screens.
Kill that tab first. I'm not even going to pretend.
So hateful.
So want to mitigate and protect brand.
So we're out front of the district court here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, with Stephanie Franz, the Uber grandma, who was turned out there wasn't a trial today. And you've got some kind of an agreement with the state that you can't really quite reveal what it is, but you seem pretty happy. And you did tell us that you didn't have to plead guilty, correct?
That's correct. In anything that was been going on, I never said I would plead guilty. I never pleaded guilty. I'm not guilty because I wanted to stand up for my rights and actually for the rights of all the other Uber drivers and any other type of business that wanted to start up without the regulations that the city can provide would put on them, I guess, is for lack of a better term.
You were facing $7,000 in fines.
$6,500.
7 tickets.
Yes.
And this was
over
a year.
Many times. Yeah. So, but the police, I mean, they treated me professionally. They were extremely, let me put it this way. I don't think they really wanted to be doing what they were doing. Hmm. I felt that they felt like they were... they needed to be somewhere else besides driving around picking up Uber drivers for driving. Right. So it's just been fantastic. I have people want me to get out of my car when I drop them off, and you know, can I get my picture with you? Or I see them getting out of the car and they're jumping up and down, saying, "Oh, I just rode with Uber Grandma." So it's been fun.
Are you going to keep driving for Uber?
Yeah, I am. So I'll keep driving for Uber. And like I said, too, when I testified at the council, if Uber's here because the taxi cabs weren't giving the services that they should have been.
People
giving.
Are having to wait for, what, an hour?
Yeah, if they even showed up.
Right.
So that's why Uber's here. And if Uber gets to the point where they're so redundant in their services and things and somebody else comes in, more power to them. You know, as a matter of fact, I hope there is somebody, you know, that does something like that. I mean, we're all looking to better ourselves, and so shouldn't businesses. So
there she goes. She knows the score. You know, she's going to work for Uber.
Yeah.
As long as they keep their noses clean, providing a service that the taxi cabs, or at least the taxi cabs in Portsmouth, have not been doing such a great job providing.
And provided that she doesn't overinvest in being stuck with Uber in one way or another.
It's all it really is you've got it. You drive your own vehicle and you have to provide a certain amount of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the name of the game. One of the reasons. So, anyways, the last ticket she received was in March, and they stopped because new legislation out of the hometown, Concord, HB 1697, actually puts the power of transportation network companies, which is Uber, or Uber is one of those, into the hands of the Department of Safety. They regulate and control those entities and scan through, and basically their main stipulations are insurance.
Yeah.
You have to provide a certain amount of insurance, and you... TNCs have to do a background check on all drivers. And there's a lot of other little bullet points too, but mainly those are the two big ones that most people were concerned of. And they get cities like Austin, Texas, completely banned it because there was
They jumped straight to banning it.
They jumped straight to banning it. I think that because their background check wasn't good enough or something, and they wanted another, if I remember correctly, Austin wanted to another background check done, and Uber's like, no, it's not worth it to us. So they pulled out.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a reasonable... It sounds like a reasonable explanation of how centralization happens. I mean, if I'm calling an Uber cab or something, I don't want to have to read their insurance policy to understand whether I am, you know, whether I would be covered in an accident or not.
Right.
And I don't have the database or multiple platforms to perform a background check on the guy picking me up. So, and from a recent article I read about Uber not protecting users' privacy and not protecting users' identity, I actually think handing their insurance and background check systems and policies and procedures being given over to the state sounds kind of like a comeuppance. Like, well, you know, you had your chance to be responsible and now you weren't, so you have to do it this way now. So,
well, I think that there is a lot of power in the name brand.
I think so too.
Well, no, but, I mean, do you really need the Department of Safety to regulate these type companies if you don't know who the company is? You never heard of them before. There's no reviews online. There's nothing. These people just showed up yesterday. You should beware. Buyer beware. Uber's been around, and
yeah, but Uber has the name brand on it. So I mean, if you show up as an Uber driver, there's a certain expectation that they're not going to, you know, drive drunk off the road with you, or that they have insurance. And you know, I don't understand. I mean,
that's Uber protocol.
Except that it kind of isn't really.
Okay, well, if they weren't doing it before, now they have to, because
that was my point. They weren't doing it before, now they have to. The government actually provided a service for people in this case.
Yay, government. I'm saying that it wouldn't be necessary. You're going to have.
Except that it clearly was. I don't understand.
But you're still going to have upstarts who are going to break the law. They're going to skirt the system.
Without knowing of any specific upstarts, the first law that an upstart breaks is of existing in the first place. So, you know, I mean, Uber could have been an upstart and just populated only by Uber grandmas, who sounds very intelligent, very, you know, great lady who sounded pretty reasonable and all that. You know, they could have just been protecting users' privacy, and you know, whatever it recently they haven't, and whatever it recently they're not, you know, a self-sustaining model themselves, but that's their problem. And you know, I'm fine with the market collapsing on it. You know, that's, you know, I don't have anything against that. But
when Uber moves to Keene and I go work for Uber, are you going to give me a hard time?
No, I'm going to get a second job.
What? Oh, working for Uber?
No, I'm going to get a second job bringing in money, because it's not, I don't believe, I'm skeptical.
You don't think I make money off of it?
I think you can make money off of it in other ways. I don't think Uber has a successful business model that benefits the drivers. That's what I'm skeptical of.
It seems like Jeanette is doing just fine.
Sounds like a really great example of somebody. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Of course, by the way, she has name recognition. People are actually asking for her.
And how many of that is just Free Staters in Portsmouth running around shrieking at her?
Don't know. And how many Free Staters is she driving around? Carless Free Staters.
Exactly.
Practically living.
Who just know, you know, this is a woman we scream about and call grandma. Well, so, I don't know.
I like to hear that. Little old lady standing up against the man.
Little old lady propped up by a big company with deep pockets.
Yeah, oh, so anyway, so what had actually happened, she got an Uber lawyer. And
Uber provided her a lawyer.
Correct, and they wanted her to pay the $645. The $6,500 got shrunk to a plea deal, a guilty plea deal, and $645, which she didn't pay. Actually, I think she ended up paying like $500. But it was an administrative fine, settled via an administrative finding, not a guilty plea. So it's what rich people and corporations and people who in the know get away with. There's no telling what backroom deals went on to get this settled. But yeah, take it to court, people.
Mitigate your risk. I don't know.
Take it to court. So I like that.
Have a big company pay for it to be taken to court. I wouldn't be able to...
Be friends with big companies and have them take care of your legal fees.
Yes. The big companies will take care of you.
Speaking of big companies...
All right.
Fire department here in Keene's a big company. I think they're like...
it's a big branch of the complex.
I know the police is $7 million. I'm going to suspect the fire department is probably 3 or 4. Not as big. But... in their wisdom, by the way, we had a pretty big fire here in Keene. Was it on Beaver? Apartment complex.
Washington Street,
yeah. A lot of people were removed from their homes, all due to smoke alarms and no batteries. That's what they're saying anyways.
Well, that was one aspect of it, yeah.
And, of course, they were immediately...
If you don't want police people to know what's in your home and not in your home, don't set your home on fire.
Well, I'm sure... Well, I don't think anyone's worried about what was in their home. But there was a lot of finger-pointing at landlords. If you've read comments on this particular story, it was like, landlords, they don't take care of their tenants.
It was the people...
Like, well, if you took the batteries out, if you set the stove on fire one day,
mm-hmm.
and your smoke alarm went off, and you got that those things are pretty outrageous. And you go and you thump it with the broom handle, smoke alarms.
Okay.
Turn it off and you take the battery out. Well, and you didn't put the battery back in.
Yeah, it seemed like there's a two different sides going on. The people commenting on this every article about this fire on Facebook were saying the landlord didn't do the goods. And also this other person's a slumlord, and so is this person, and so sad. Prayers for the families and all that useless junk. But people are basically saying, you know, the landlord doesn't provide. And then everything that the Sentinel was, you know, saying was, oh, people actually disabled the fire alarms, the smoke alarms. They turned them off or they took out the batteries. And so it's kind of hard to say, you know, well, if you take the batteries out of the smoke alarm of your slum home because you know it's going to burn down someday anyways, like, well, who really?
Tell me, how does your insurance, or you were, if the insurance provider knows that the tenant blatantly removed a safety feature from the situation, does that void anything?
If it's renter's insurance and if it's a renter's policy or whatever, and you disable the smoke alarm, then you didn't mitigate your risk. It's from what I understand, it's pretty obvious, glaring, you know, first come feature of, you know, insuring stuff.
Okay, none of these people had renter's insurance, I'm pretty sure.
Probably not.
Now, what did the landlord had some type...
Yeah, he probably had insurance.
Some kind of insurance on the property.
I would think that they're not liable for... I mean, yeah, they're not going to be... Yeah, they can't be liable for the actions of the other people who aren't insured. And their personal belongings aren't insured. It's, you know, the building and probably liability, but I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm only a doctor.
This article comes from, as Shauna pointed out, the news in Keene.
The Sentinel.
Sentinel. Keene's Fire Department begins a citywide inspections to improve safety. In the next 4 years, Keene's Fire Department will visit more than 1,000 homes and businesses throughout the city, and not only if there are reports of smoke or flames. Between now and 2020... the department plans to conduct inspections in more than 1,600 buildings, at first targeting apartment buildings and businesses to ensure they comply with fire code, according to Keene Fire Chief Mark Howard. Through its Life Safety Inspection Program, which launched in August, the department hopes to prevent fires before they happen and minimize the risk to tenants and building occupants in the event they do. So... 1,600 buildings.
That's a lot.
I know, if I remember correctly, there are 8,000 private parcels in Keene. So I'm going to assume that these are only going to be lodging houses, apartment buildings, and businesses, and not our house. I can only imagine, because, I mean, right now I'm going to tell you, stop him at the door. This is an invasion of privacy. This is ridiculous. Stop what you're doing right now. Put this on pause and go check your smoke alarm. And then come back and continue watching. And that's all you really need to do. But these knuckleheads want to come to your house. You know, what else are they going to find? Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to... It talks about fines and stuff further on in the article, but they're going to check your smoke alarm, and mm-hmm. they're going to find other things.
What are they going to find? Cobwebs behind the smoke alarm?
They're probably going to take the code enforcer in there with them, and they're going to find structural deficiencies.
Mm,
or they're going to find out that you created a room that you didn't get permit for. Or you added something onto the house that you didn't get a permit for, that you didn't get permission for. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these guys said they had no right. It's an invasion of privacy. If you really, really feel inadequate, incapable of checking your own smoke alarm, then go ahead and, invite them in. But otherwise, tell them to go back and get a warrant.
Well, they don't need a warrant because it's not about... I don't know where they need a warrant, because they're not searching you for suspicion of criminal activity or imminent criminal activity or something like that.
Are you not safe in your own dwelling? You are constitutionally safe in your own building. They can't just come in for any reason.
Yeah, they're not just coming in. They actually...
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people are going to let them in for your safety.
The fire department schedules most of its inspections by reaching out to building owners through the mail. However, if they want to request an inspection in advance or have concerns, they can call this number or send an email. So it's kind of like they're going to set up a schedule with you. They're going to set up an appointment. You're going to have a set time. You're going to have a set deadline to hide your bongs, hide your weed, hide your, you know, stop beating your kids for an hour and a half or however long it takes for, you know, the fire department. Because earlier in here... It only talks about, and, you know, yes, it's a sentinel. Yes, government officials lie and all that. So, I mean, obviously it's something you want to keep an eye on as this moves forward. But it only really talks about the fire department and having, you know, the fire prevention officer, John Bates, will have a, quote, task force when fire officers finish their training. So, you know, it's really hard to see, you know, untested, crappy sprinkler systems, aisles, you know, in apartment buildings, in physical obstructions, walkways and stairways, no marked emergency exits. So that's, you know, kind of the stuff that they're going to be finding and seeing.
And if they find any deficiencies, they're going to be slapping down fines.
Well, for landlords who are supposed to actually have that stuff, and they should be aware of what they're required to provide, then... Yeah. And if it's a business, yeah. So, you know, obviously if it's your own home, I, you know, totally sympathize with, you know, yeah, if you don't want them in your home for any reason, then don't, you know, then don't schedule an appointment with them.
Well, I'm going to be curious at how many of these inspections are actually scheduled beforehand. And how many of them are knock-knock?
Just kicking the door in?
They're not going to kick the door in, but they're going to say, hey, look.
I bet people would enjoy it if they did.
You're next on our list. Will you let us in? And we'll see, you know, get in contact with us and tell us how it goes. I know that they're not coming in this house anytime soon.
Well, we'll have to see when they send the letter asking...
They're not coming here. By the way, I also found it interesting that after applying for and receiving a $66,000 federal grant to train 14 of the department's fire officers in fire code inspection, the department started conducting inspections of multiple unit residential buildings this summer. So thanks, grant money. There's more of the people's money going to for safety, but you got to give up some of your.
Well, honestly, it's
to give up some of your liberty.
Honestly, it's to fire code stuff, and the stuff that they listed sounds pretty bare bones. Of like, you know, I've lived in slum palaces here in Keene that, you know, probably will go up.
The one that burned down was probably a slum palace.
It probably was, and, you know, I don't know. But it just seems so bare bones of like, oh, the federal government is, there's state money being used to keep everybody informed and up to date on fire codes. Well,
yeah, we're already having
that's kind of like very, very low. Well, then get rid of the after school programs or get rid of the, you know.
Yeah, now we're talking. Get rid of them all.
Well, I mean, mitigate your risk, your hazards, you know, triage what you need. It's really difficult to say we don't need, you know, from a political standpoint and from a practical libertarian ideology Trump's reality standpoint, you know, fire safety is kind of an understandable, like if you're a small government person, you can be like, okay, well, that one makes sense, you know, providing, providing like school lunches, school dinners, school breakfast. That's kind of like way up there that you can easily lop off and no problem and make a really clear, good argument. And we don't have the money. We don't spend on it. Fire safety to me, I mean, even just fire inspection on a large scale over, you know, the course of years or whatever, sounds kind of more like way down here of like, well, let's keep the slumlords in check and, you know, the national chain restaurants that can afford to just plop something in the middle of good old Keene, they better be up to date on their, you know, have working fire extinguishers. It's kind of like a little bit further down here. And, you know, school breakfast and, you know, buying net books for the kids, you know, it's kind of like they're qualitatively different. And, you know, and yes, it could be much better done on a more voluntary and more outreaching and not, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they could do to mitigate your concerns and my concerns, because I don't even do anything. I don't, you know, I can barely even drink alcohol, and I don't want, you know, fire people coming in here. I know that freaking smoke alarm goes off all the time whenever I try to cook anything.
I don't want the house to burn down.
Well, whatever. But I mean, I know it works. Like, I'm all
personal responsibility. I'm,
yes, we're all set, and I don't want them coming in here. So, I mean, there is room for their improvement,
well,
I guess.
Having fire trucks available in town, which, by the way, can be privatized.
Not in Keene. I don't think they'd be able to figure it out.
They're not going to accept it, but these inspections, that is something. That is right there in line with free school lunches. It is something that can be lopped off and that I don't accept. Now, if you want to call up one of the fire guys and say, hey, look, I'm concerned that my house is, you know, maybe a burn threat, could you come and, of course, be charged for it, for the trip?
Oh, whatever.
That's how the real world would work. Then sure, yeah, call them up and have them come out. But this is busy work. And they're also proving their existence. It's like, all right, well, got to keep people safe, and the more fires we have, the more that we prove our whole existence was not really needed because we couldn't prevent anything. So, you know, here we are, you know, going around town and
checking on
lodging houses, because that's really what it's going to come down to. I'm telling you,
a lodging house? What do you mean, like an apartment building or a hotel?
A lodging house is a home that is being used to habitate. A certain amount of individuals. I don't remember the specifics, but it's basically a motel house.
It's not a motel?
No, it's not, because it's a single family or multifamily home.
A sardine house.
Yes, sardine house, correct.
Those are flop horrible. House. Those are flop houses.
They're not all bad.
imagine the connotation you just brought out by calling some things flop houses. It sounds horrible, you know.
Okay, but it's their business. If they want to live in a flop house, whatever. But you have people in this town who want to go and find these places so that they can prevent them from happening and to lay down fines and, you know.
They're a blight on the neighborhood around them. So, I mean, it's really...
That's what I'm saying. You don't... If it was... Yes, there are some that...
If somebody turned... If a neighbor here turned their home into a flop house, you
can't... Would have to deal with it.
You would have to deal with it. You can't just up and move. So, I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of your neighbors not being degenerate slumlords packing people in like sardines. I actually could just, you know, up and leave. I'm just a renter. I, you know, whatever.
Well, so, the first thing I would do is go talk to those people and see if something could be worked out. The other thing to do is to actually, maybe move to a neighborhood where it couldn't happen. Homes, properties, parcels with deed restrictions. Move to a
homeowners association.
Be involved in a homeowners association or start one. This, by the way, where we live here in Maple Acres, this would be a prime area where, you know, we could start something like that.
Like a sardine house?
No.
Okay, good.
Homeowners Association for all of Maple Acres. Just go and get everyone involved and say, hey, look, these are the stipulations. These are what we're going to agree to. Keep our grass at a certain height. You know, make sure there's no snow on the mailboxes and on the fire hydrants.
Well, one way that they could do this better that would be gearing it more towards... people who make a business. Like, you don't make a business out of just living here. You're a homeowner. This is your castle. This is where anarchy can truly reign because it is yours.
As long as I don't tell anyone what I'm doing here.
Anyways, you're not a renter of, you know, you're not a landlord. You're not a dorm, you know, King Cribs or anything like that. Nothing against that company themselves or anything. You're not a chain restaurant. You're not a restaurant downtown who, you know, really should know how to have everything together in terms of fire safety and up to code and all that. What the fire department in this case could do, instead of training everybody to, you know, it sounds like they're deploying an army of census workers and all that. Or something like that. Yeah, what they could do instead is, you know, just modify the codes and the licenses for the landlords who has a full-blown apartment building, you know, and have it up to code of in their business license renewal or in their code or whatever it is, so that they are subject to annual fire inspections. Why aren't they already?
Well,
it's only
when you first make changes to the residence or when you first buy the place. And after that, there's no more, unless you actually call them in.
Well, then...
But there is a law. There is an ordinance that says that landlords have to have smoke alarms on every level, and they have to be hardwired into the building. So, I mean, they're already existing laws. So now what...
People to die because somebody, you know, flouted that law. And the only way that you can find that is through inspection or after the fact when there's a fire. That's the only way you can find out. I mean, if you read those comments of people complaining about this landlord doesn't do this, doesn't do that, there's a lot of complaining, but there's not a lot of actually calling up the fire department. So, like, what is code? What is this? This is a violation, blah, blah, blah. There isn't, you know, there's a lot of people who just won't do anything.
If your landlord is a dirtbag, call them on it.
Just take your money and move.
No, call them on it. Tell them there's a problem.
Yes, get evicted.
The guy that smoke alarm doesn't work.
I'm actually really trying to help your point here. Okay.
Pray, continue.
No, you got to listen to the rest of the show later on because I tried to make my point several times already. There's a lot of ways that they could do this that would be more community reaching. And
like provide their services to people who are interested.
There's a lot of ways that they could do that could be more proactive and community reaching and actually geared towards what most people already imagine is who should be on it, whose business they have with to get there. Okay. But the way that they're doing that right now, from the perspective of somebody who wants government to be sane and small and prudent, this doesn't sound like the most outrageous thing that they're doing. Not yet, anyways. When they, you know, have 6 months from now and there's a notice in the paper saying, hey, if you don't answer your, you know, appointment with the fire department, we're going to, you know, bust in your door or
they're
something.
Having warrants for all the individuals who don't want them in there. That's time. That's time. Maybe it's cumulative.
Yes.
These cities build and build and build. Before you know it, they're controlling and regulating every aspect of our lives. Sometimes you have to stay back.
Have you ever been to Keene before?
Have I ever lived in the U.S.? That's what this country is going. It's going down the chutes.
It's down the chutes. It already is. So, you know.
We're not on the bottom. We're not standing in the bottom yet. I mean, we still have inches to go.
And fighting for your right for slumlord landlords on the other side of town to skeezel on without having functioning fire alarms is not the way.
I can't play favorites.
Maybe you should triage who you support.
If I'm going to have liberty, everyone has to have the same liberties.
Maybe that's not a realistic situation that can be achieved.
Well, I'm putting my foot down. Please don't let them in the house.
I'm not going to let them in the house.
Oh, crap. We've got a couple more stories here. Did you want to talk about...
God, your hair's still long. Calm down.
What did you want to talk about?
I'm done.
Do you want to talk about the controversial mural in Durham Post Office?
That's one we could go on to.
Or you can talk about the gun range in Winchester.
I didn't read... I just know that the gun range in Winchester sounds wonderful. Sounds like everybody's complaint about it is a little typical. They supposedly, the owners and the people involved have a really, you know, disturbing outlook, and they really, you know, make a big deal out of shooting things and being real cool, and they, you know, work for secret mercenary things or whatever. Keene has a bear cat. Mm-hmm. So, this is
Winchester. People live out in the woods.
But yeah.
The company is really gung-ho, and they have all these. It's not just like an indoor gun facility.
It sounds like a really nice thing, actually.
Actually, if they were to have a gun range and have paintball, like, arena.
They probably will right next to it in a couple years. That'd be really neat. It sounds really... I mean, the Walmart here in Keene can't hire everybody in Winchester. And if you don't have a car to get to Keene to work or to get somewhere else, I don't know where the jobs are.
Well, you have the Walmart in Hinsdale.
Yeah, that's a walk.
this company isn't going to hire but like a dozen folks.
It's a dozen more than getting hired now, and it's not through federal grants and, you know, Mendenhall Development, Economic Development Corp grants that are recycled grants of some embezzlement weird. I don't know what it is that somehow two people get hired and their timesheet is a matter of city record or something, or whatever schemes are going on in Keene to get, you know, fake little feel good tummy heart jobs. This is something that actually, you know, is a business that's coming in, and yeah, okay, it's only 12, but
yeah, wasn't that refreshing when the guy was talking? He didn't mention any like, yeah, I have this grant that's going to incentivize all these projects and programs and whatnot, and this is my backup, and this is why you should, you know, support my gun range. Should I play the video? Replay the video.
I didn't know there was video.
Here's a video on WMUR.
No, but I mean, it brings in, you know, if you're driving out there, there's two gas stations in the Winchester area. I think three if you're going down into Greenfield. But, you know, there's nowhere to eat.
Opposition mounted against a proposal to bring a marksmanship park to this area of vacant land along Route 119 in a village of Winchester called Ashuelet.
The thing is, I don't know how you can do this because you're putting the safety of people and property and and everything at risk.
The Ridgeline Markmanship Park would take up about 124 acres of this land with multiple gun ranges, action shooting, and training, with a survival skills area on a separate area of land near Fenton Road.
Safety on this particular proposal is really governed by our design and by our operational controls. The goal here is to keep all projectiles, all bullets on the property, plain and simple.
Many people who live nearby have publicly displayed their opposition with signs like this one across from the land site. They have concerns about stray bullets and the sounds of gunfire.
Ridgeline military-style shooting range, I feel
military
it's not
style.
Appropriate for Ashuelot, New Hampshire's location where not anti-gun. I feel this plan is a mistake. Ashuelot is a quiet residential area.
To which Ridgeline representatives say they've taken steps to increase safety and reduce sound.
This is not like your average historic gun club where people show up, pay their fee, and they can just go shoot wherever they want, however they want. That's not at all what's happening here. This is highly regulated, highly controlled by certified range safety officers.
And now no decision was made tonight. That won't come until January at the earliest. Residents say if this doesn't go their way, some of them might be looking into taking legal action against the town. Live in Winchester tonight, I'm Charisse LeClaire, WMUR News 9.
So there you go.
That poor girl. It was so cold that night.
It was. Did you see that? The snowflakes that were just going sideways?
That looked like horrible B-roll. That was... Oh, man, that poor girl.
That's Winchester for you.
Man, yikes.
So, yeah, they're the people coming out in arms. They don't like change. They don't want 12 more jobs, and they don't want all of the business that would be flocking to the Winchester area.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to point out. But, you know, I didn't know about their tagline of we're anti-location, not anti-gun. Maybe there is a better location within the city or within the area. And I guess it really would depend on what the economy actually is in Winchester. Is it, you know, if you're not working, it's because primarily you're retired and don't need to work.
Right.
You know, if you're a kid who lives out there, maybe you don't need to work because you're rich and your parents are, you know, well off, even though they kind of do bus people into Keene High from Winchester, and supposedly they're known as the poor ones from what I've heard. So I don't know. But
Winchester is Keene or Monadnock?
Winchester kids get bused into Keene for Keene High School. Yeah. It's a stratification.
Well, we do have, I know we have one range here in Keene, North Keene. It's an indoor.
A gun range?
Yep, it's an indoor facility.
Really?
This thing that they're selling is not. It sounds like a outdoor range where you can run around and jump around, hide behind obstacles, and maybe there will be even a little paintball thing, or, you know, and other weapons as well, bows and arrows. And.
Well, I guess it depends on how.
Rocket launchers.
I guess if your concern is about the noise. And you're saying you're concerned about the noise and the stray bullets, and the lawyer's saying we have mitigated that risk by doing XYZ. So the noise, because the noise isn't going to be a problem, and the stray bullets, there aren't going to be any stray bullets. They're all going to stay inside. I don't really know how you would come to persuade somebody who's anti-location based on that. If I'm saying like there's, it's going to be a noise problem, it's going to be a stray bullet problem, there's not going to be any convincing that person. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, so it sounds like...
Sounds like this is not going to happen.
It sounds like it'd be a great idea, and it'd be wonderful if... I mean, when I first heard of it, I thought, wow, something, a business coming to Winchester, that sounds wonderful for Winchester. Keene has an unemployment problem, and they, you know, can't possibly attract as... more homeless people than they possibly could, but they're trying. And, you know, Keene struggles already with its own employment. So the idea of something coming to Winchester sounds, you know, just on its own really great.
By the way, did you catch that real quick? Did you catch that article in the Sentinel? The homelessness study that they just did New Hampshire-wide found out that homelessness is down in the state of New Hampshire.
Did they change the definition of homeless?
Homelessness is not down in Cheshire County. I wonder why. I have some feelings on this, but it's going to hurt a lot of people's tummy hearts.
Are you still homeless if you live in a flop house?
They have different types of homelessness.
Chronic. Family.
Family homelessness, and then also unsheltered homelessness.
Went down 71%.
So.
Yikes.
That's because, of course. So unsheltered homelessness went down in Cheshire County, but that's because they are spending more and more money on programs here in Keene. One of the reasons, anyways, the 100 Nights got more money this year, and they'll be asking for more money next year. Community Kitchen got more money this year, and they'll be asking for more. Give it another 10 years, and the Community Kitchen will be solely funded through taxpayer funds.
No.
They're already a third.
There are so many.
They're on their way to a half.
There are so many companies and stores. That have old food to get rid of. There are so many companies that donate to the Community Kitchen that in the event where they're saying we need more money and the city gives it to them, mm-hmm. they could even, you know, turn that into a plea for money from supposedly private companies and private individuals saying, you know, look how terribly in need we are. So it's never going to be fully funded by taxpayers.
It's going to keep on going up. And I hate to break it to you, but
it'll be fully funded by taxpayers and the taxpayers' employers.
Yeah. Well, I hate to break it to you. It's not charity when it's being force funded. It's welfare. So just keep that in mind whenever you're, thanking your local charitable organization. Keep in mind how much money they're actually getting from the feds, the states, the locals, and how much they're actually generating from the people who really matter. The more you put it into the hands of government, the more the bureaucracy grows, and before you know it, more money is going to pay the servers. Than is actually going to serve or going to the needy. It's just the way it works. And we got to go. It's cold in here. You've been watching Citizen Kane. Check out the website, citizenkane.org. You can see all the previous videos. Like and subscribe to our Facebook page and stay up to date with any articles I come across during the week. All the show notes, by the way, are at the website that we spoke about this evening. If you'd like to get in contact with me anytime, email address is show@citizenkane.org. And that number down there, 267-521-2771, you can call that anytime you want and leave a message. And I might play it if it's good, or I might just respond to it or whatever. Sean, thanks so much for being on in this cold, cold dungeon.
Yep.
Let's get that heater and that furnace turned on.
Yeah, cool.
Guys at home, thank you for watching. We'll see you again next week at the same night time. Good night.
Papers, please.